Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. It's time to look at some of the other members of the supporting cast, Andy, and how they're playing alongside LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. Plus, trade rumors are starting to heat up, and there's been an actual trade in the NBA that does impact the Lakers. We'll talk about it all next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. We get this thing up sometimes even on Saturdays and Sundays if there's a bonus episode, Andy. But we put it up bright and early for you. Locked On Lakers on YouTube as well as a way to sometimes get the podcast a little bit early. So the content is always there for you. Make sure you listen to another Locked On podcast as your second listen.
It's the content age, Brian.
Yes, it's an age of content. Everything's content these days.
It really is.
So some trade rumors are starting to heat up and fly around, and you've got some interesting hypotheticals and I've got some questions for you about just how deep into the well of resources you would dip to save this season.
How deep into the THT well?
It's not a deep well. It's just how deep are you willing to go into it?
Am I willing to buy Talen Horton Tucker a plane ticket? Is that what you're asking me, essentially?
There's more to it than that. But you know, yes, all of the well.
Would I be willing to move? Would I be willing to move all of my asset in order to make a deal happen?
There's a draft pick. There's stuff to consider. The Lakers on Wednesday, as we all know, it was a tragicomedy of results and errors and all that kind of stuff. We've talked about Russell Westbrook. We talked about Austin Reeves, on the good side. We talked about Malik Monk on the good side again. But, you know, a lot of what the choices the Lakers have made with this roster to try to fill it out around the big three, and as we've talked about, the big three is really what's important, but these other guys matter too, are starting to come into focus a little bit. And these guys matter, and they're important to talk about for the rest of the season. Trevor Ariza and Stanley Johnson serve similar functions, I think you could say, on this team, and are probably, I would say, a little bit more important than you would want them to be. But let's start with Trevor, Andy. We finally are starting to get to see him play a little bit following the ankle surgery. He looks a little creaky to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning, too, that Ariza and Johnson can be linked to each other just because Trevor ended up starting against Sacramento in place of Stanley Johnson. Mm-hmm. So, and it was a short stint in the first half. You know, grand opening, grand closing, as Chris Rock would say. Trevor Ariza picked up two fouls in 90 seconds. One of them was, I think, kind of a ticky-tack foul, but both of them underscored what you had said before, Brian, that issue of creakiness with Trevor. Like, he looks slow right now. Like, he looks like he is doing everything Kyle Anderson speed. Like, even when
not on purpose,
right? Like, even when Trevor dribbles, like, it feels like you can mark the time passing between the ball hitting the ground and it coming back up to his hands. Like when he slashes now, it's more like he's sauntering. and the whole,
he's an older man out for a constitutional as opposed to a basketball player aggressively attacking the rack.
And look, the hope with Trevor is just that he is legitimately in that process of getting his legs back underneath him. I do think the organization is hyper conscious right now of not overdoing it with him and trying to work him through this. You know, he's coming back at his age off ankle surgery that kept him out for a while. And when you watch Trevor, like, it's obvious he knows where he's supposed to go. Like, that basketball mind, you know, particularly defensively and as a cutter and stuff like that, it's still there, but the sharpness isn't.
You know, we have noted all season long, really, the danger that the Lakers put themselves in by putting themselves in a position to have to rely on Ariza at that spot as much as they have. you know, he's really the only guy that they have on the roster until they sign Johnson, who is capable of being a swing defender on threes and fours, as opposed to twos and threes. They had a bunch of guys who could guard twos and threes, not a lot of guys who could credibly slide down and guard threes and fours, except for LeBron. And, you know, particularly acute problem while AD is out and, you know, LeBron is playing so much center. It hasn't looked good. And both of us love Trevor. I mean, just love the guy. I mean, he's an outstanding dude.
Yep.
But the problem when you have guys at his age is that A, when they get hurt, it can take a long time for it to come back, which we've seen. It's just, it's a slow process with him and anyone else. And also, like, when you're that old and it goes, it kind of goes quick. And, you know, Ariza looked pretty good in Miami last year, relatively bouncy and all that kind of stuff, you know, for,
and then he looked,
you know,
and then he looked all right. He looked all right.
Okay. Like I said, relatively good, like, okay. Relative to not
like playable. An octogenarian,
relative, right. Relative to kind of what you would expect, like, or what okay. you would worry about with a guy that, you know, at 36 or whatever, you know,
right.
Who at that point come off a pretty decent layoff.
Right.
I am not confident that Ariza is somebody that they can lean on in the playoffs. And even with the idea, you know, and his numbers aren't terrible, you know, his advanced numbers and his on off numbers and all that kind of stuff, they're not terrible. But when you start to kind of, you know, you combine the eye test with the numbers test, it is not encouraging. And that leads to the next issue that you have to figure out, which is, Stanley Johnson, you know, the defensive metrics, for example, on Trevor are not good. Cleaning the glass and all that.
Right. But before we even get to Stanley Johnson, because I know one of the issues that I'm sure is going to come up with him is just offensively and what you don't get with him.
Correct.
In theory, Trevor is an upgrade there. And if you just looked at some of his stats by themselves, you would think, oh, okay, you know, offensively, there's something there. For example, he's shooting 47% from behind the arc, which is awesome. Until you take into account he averages 1.9 threes per game, which is essentially the amount of shots that he takes per game.
Right. And you saw on Wednesday those moments where he did try to kind of wind his way into, like, he's not confident. He doesn't enter the paint with the intention of finishing.
I was going to say he is really hesitant right now. And again, this might be a legitimate function of him working his way back into NBA form, mm-hmm. but he passes up a lot of opportunities right now offensively.
Well, it's been a long time since Trevor was a guy who who was a perimeter two basket offensive mm-hmm. player. At this point, he is, you know, almost exclusively a corner three shooter. And, you know, so, you know, if he's not going to be much of an offensive player and the defense isn't what you need it to be, and currently it is not, the metrics in very small sample size because he hasn't played a lot, you turn to Johnson, and there was obviously a lot of enthusiasm around Johnson when the Lakers first went and got him, because I mean, you want to talk about a guy who filled a role that they just flat did not have. Like, they didn't have anybody who could do that, and he brought a lot of energy and effort and tenaciousness and all this kind of, a lot of just intangible stuff that was good to see on a team that was sort of lacking that stuff. But when you get into a place where you have to decide, is Stanley Johnson going to be a big time member of our rotation? Somebody who, you know, are we going to carve out a 27 minute, 30 minute a roll night for Stanley Johnson? There's a reason he was available. And you start to see some of those flaws come through. He is a big time minus defensively, or offensively, I should say. And if he is not making it up in a big way on the other side of the ball, he's a liability and harder to play.
Yeah. Like, I think Johnson rotates well. Like you said before, his energy is a really welcome thing, you know, welcome element for a team that quite frankly does not play as hard as it should on a regular basis. But you see at times too, with him playing small ball center, he can get, I don't want to say overpowered necessarily, because he's a really strong dude, but there are times where he's just not big enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's the extra 2 or 3 inches between
guys can shoot over him.
Right. The extra 2 or 3 inches between him and LeBron and not necessarily having the strength of like a Chuck Hayes, who was basically like a tree stump masquerading as a basketball player. Like you start to see that gap between him and a truly ideal small ball center, you know, like the PJ Tuckers of the world who are just so good at what they do. And Tucker also is somebody you'll always make sure that you guard, at least from the corners.
Much more credible offensive player.
Right. Do you think they'll keep Johnson really quick?
I do.
So do I.
Just because I don't think they have another option there. I don't know how much he'll play all the way, but I do think they'll keep him. I think you look at it and, you know, we should probably break this down. You have, you know, Malik Monk, and you have Austin Reeves, and who is, I think, a total unexpected thing. But of the guys that they've signed, it's really been a mixed bag, which means the Lakers are still looking to improve, which means trade rumors, Andy. And there are some freshies on the trade rumor market that we need to discuss. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline wants to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the games start.
Okay, so Andy, it is starting to percolate. Trades are beginning to filter out. The rumors are starting to fly around a little bit more. And needless to say, the Lakers at what now 21-21 are they're going to be in the middle of all of it. The newest one, in addition to the Jeremy Grant rumors and the Miles Turner rumors and all that, this according to Michael Scotto at Real GM. I'm sorry, Hoops Hype, I should Hoops say. Hype. That the Lakers are interested in Gary Trent Jr., who was originally with Portland and now is in Toronto. And as a person who has him on his fantasy team, I can tell you has had a pretty nice season up in Toronto. Very good three-point shooter, very active and hardworking defender, you know, piles up a lot of steals, which doesn't necessarily make you a good defender, but he's certainly active on that side of the ball and is generally speaking just growing into a much better player as he settles in the league. That would be an interesting one. It is just like every other deal that the Lakers are involved in. DHT, Kendrick Nunn, and probably that 2027 first rounder. Where do you fall in on the interest in a Gary Trent Jr. compared to the other guys that have been thrown out there?
I like Gary Trent. I mean, I've liked him for a while. I've liked him since he entered the league. You mentioned the three-point shooting. It's about 37% this season. He has not been below 35.5 since his rookie season, and he takes about 7 or so a game. So
yeah, he's pretty high volume.
This is good volume. And he's good from mid-range. Like, he is not a good finisher, but he's definitely somebody who can score from different spots on the floor, and he can spread the floor for LeBron, for Russell Westbrook, for Anthony Davis. You mentioned he's a very active, I think pretty smart defender. Like, when he was first starting out in Portland, defense actually helped him carve out a role and stay on the court. I also think this is a big thing with Gary Trent. I mean, before we even start comparing him to, say, Jeremy Grant or, you know, Miles Turner or some of the other guys linked to the Lakers, he is readier now, I think, to help this team on a consistent basis than Talen Horton-Tucker. Even acknowledging that THT may have like a wider scope of his upside, I think Trent could just grow into a more refined, high caliber version of himself. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty good player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's sort of not all-star, but still good player category, you know, sub all-star, whatever, is important. He's got the third best net rating on the Raptors right now behind Siakam and Van Vliet. So he's you know, right up there playing good basketball on a team that is not good, but not terrible. They've, you know, the last couple of years for Toronto have just been a mess. You know, they've been hit harder by the COVID rules and all that, because they have to go back and forth across the border, and there are no more fans allowed in Toronto, and they were in they had to play in Tampa for a year. Like,
I was going to say, man, that organization, it's been brutal for them.
It's it's not good. And so, you know, I here's my question. I would do it. I mean, I would trade THT and Kendrick Nunn for Gary Trent Jr. I would do that in a heartbeat. I don't know why Toronto would do that. Like, that's where you start getting into trouble, because I'm not sure. There's no question Gary Trent is better today than THT. Like, look, I mean, and some of these things sound like you get deals that look, like, it doesn't seem like a great people. Like, God, you got to figure they could do better than that. And, you know, The Athletic, we don't have to go through every trade, but The Athletic put out something interesting where they went through a bunch of Jeremy Grant trade scenarios, and obviously including the Lakers and something like that. And on paper, you look at it and go, God, Jeremy Grant's a really good player. And, you know, plug and play for so many teams would very likely improve so many teams. And you look at some of the trades that are available out there, or that are, you know, some of these hypotheticals, and they're not always as good as you think. It's not always, you know, really high end first rounders or something like that going back, or, young, really well-established young stars and stuff like that. It's Norman Powell was one of the things that was thrown out there, you know, as a good player in Portland, but like, nobody thinks Norman Powell's a superstar and stuff like that. If teams A really like THT, that's just gotta be, it's gotta be baked into it, and maybe don't get the offers somebody and feel like they got to move somebody, maybe Gary Trent, maybe, Jeremy Grant and guys like that become available. The Cam Reddish trade to New York theoretically helps the Lakers if you want to get Grant, because the Knicks were one of the teams that were discussed in a potential, that had been discussed for Grant. You would think trading for Reddish probably at least might eliminate that option. You know, they give up a first round pick that they had, and stuff like that. They have used at least some of their stuff for a guy who theoretically, you know, at Reddish is what, like 6'7", 6'8", you know, kind of is that big wing that a lot of teams are looking for.
I also think there's more redundancy with Grant and Randall.
Oh, there is. It's not a great fit. I'm just saying
I don't think it makes much sense for the Knicks.
The Knicks. I'm just saying they are a team that is talked about because they have stuff. They have young players. They have assets. So they're always talked about. So, you know, there it is, the possibility. Here's my bigger, you know, let's take a break. But I want to ask you this question. Is this team, once you've traded THT, once you've traded Kendrick Nunn and, you know, however many picks that you have that you can control, that is it. The Lakers have essentially at that point had traded all of their assets.
Yep.
And they have, this is everything that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen enough from this team to make you think that it's worth doing that right now, as opposed to waiting for the offseason or trying to figure something out at a time when things are more stable? Is this season worth rescuing with a big swing trade at the deadline? We'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. It's the new year, which means New Year's resolutions. And for a lot of y'all, that's going to be about getting fit, eating healthier, and Built Bar can be a part of that plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It allows you to eat healthy, but not let it get boring. Like, you know, after a few weeks of eating healthy, a lot of times you're like, screw it, man. This isn't worth it. Give me my chocolate. Well, you know what? Built Bars, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Most contain just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, but 17 grams of protein. That's the good stuff. Tons of great flavors to choose from. You got your coconut almond, mint brownie, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and all down the line. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com.
So Andy, let's go back to this question. You know, there are a lot, and you have a hypothetical that I think kind of fits into this pretty well. Like this, just this idea. It's something's not right, you know, and then, with the way that this has gone so far. And, you know, we're still waiting for Anthony Davis to come back, and there's still the hope. And Westbrook is not going to be as bad as he's been for the last 3 games for the rest of the season, I hope. Like, he's not going to shoot 8 for 40 for the rest of the year. But that doesn't, there's the gap between the Lakers and the top of the West is huge right now. Does trading everything else that you have in the middle of the season, when it's less stable, when you have fewer options, when it's harder to put deals together, when it's all this stuff, does it make sense? Is that the right play, or do you just ride it out and try to fix it the best way you can in the off season when you have more flexibility, time, space, things like that?
I think it depends a lot on who you're trading for. I would not trade for a seasoned veteran right now. Like, mm-hmm. I would not move THT for somebody that is in their mid to late 20s or older that theoretically, you know, can immediately step in to help a team fill a role, but isn't going to be enough to put the team over the top in an effort to try to save this season. But for example, we were talking about Gary Trent Jr. He's just 23.
Right.
Like, he's a young guy. Or, you know, Jeremy Grant. I don't know his age off the top of my head, but talking about a good player still in his prime, you know, unless you think THT is either going to turn a corner fairly quickly, or you think he's going to be so good by the end of year three that it is worth waiting this thing out, no matter what it does to the window for LeBron, because you just believe in that upside with Talen Horton-Tucker that much. I'm not sure, as long as you're bringing in a good young player, that you're really giving up that much to begin with. Like, I'm not even sure what you're sacrificing.
I guess that's a fair way to look at it. Jeremy Grant, by the way, is almost, he'll be 28 in a couple months. So
still in his
not
prime.
Quite as young, right. But still certainly in the prime of his career, and was a guy who did not put a ton of mileage on himself early in his career. Was not a big minutes player early. I tend to agree with it. The other thing that obviously ratchets up the pressure is you only get so many cracks at this with LeBron. And, you know, with that in mind, you kind of, I mean, like, it's a little like we've had this conversation about Ben Simmons in and Philly and Joel Embiid. It's like, do you want to punt a season theoretically of Joel Embiid, particularly given how well he's playing? I know the Sixers don't look at it that way, but a lot of other people do. The Lakers, it's
Brian, you know, they got 3.5 years to figure this thing out, according to Daryl Morey.
Right. It's even more acute, though, with the Lakers, because, you know, you really can't rely on LeBron to be at his peak like this for that much longer, or if not his peak, a peak. So my answer to it is yes, with the full understanding that it might blow up in a major disaster. And that 2027 pick that seems so far away, like, oh, why would... could turn out to be really valuable, because, you know, the Lakers haven't been able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again after the thing breaks up. Like, this thing could flame out spectacularly, but I do think you have to try to rescue it, because the Lakers are pot committed at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a good trade, if it's, you know, I would, you know, for Trent, for Jeremy Grant, for guys that aren't obvious albatross, do not trade for Russell Westbrook twice.
Well, thankfully you can't.
Well, there's the real Russell Westbrook, and then there's the conceptual Russell Westbrook. Don't sure. do it twice. Well, but this gets to a hypothetical that you had.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard, and a lot of our listeners have heard, that as part of the Ben Simmons discourse and the calls that they're reportedly making, the Sixers, and engaging in trade talks, they have been looking to attach Tobias Harris to Ben Simmons. Basically the idea being, like, if you're not going to give us back an all NBA caliber player for Ben Simmons, like a true superstar, we want you to at least take on Tobias Harris's salary. So it got me thinking about this, and I wasn't even sure that this trade would be legal, but according to Real GM's trade checker, it is.
Good enough.
After the 15th, when THT becomes trade eligible, would you, Brian, do a Russell Westbrook, Talen Horton-Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, at least the first round 2027 pick, who knows what else, for Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris?
Like, cases of Genie's tequila. They don't have anything else after
right.
that.
But... And bear this in mind, because I'm sure there are a lot of Laker fans listening right
so,
now.
So, yeah, going, I was talking, it's for Simmons and Tobias.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of them are going, done, 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 done. Ben Simmons, through 2025, he will have contracts $35 million, $38 million, $40 million. Tobias Harris has a contract that goes on 1 year longer than Russ. You know, in theory, the Sixers get out from under that a little bit earlier. He will make in that final year $39 million. Tobias Harris, who is really a fourth option on a team, maybe third on a really good day. But at $39 million, that is, I like Tobias Harris, that is criminal.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for Tobias Harris. So you would be financially pot committed for a while if you made this deal. What say you?
A couple things about this. I really would have to think about it. First thing is, Ben Simmons is taking a little bit more of a beating in this whole thing. Some of the discourse has turned into Ben Simmons is terrible. Ben Simmons is an excellent player. Excellent.
At certain things, he certainly is.
Yeah, he has flaws, which is why we're in the situation they're in. But he is an excellent player. And he can score a little bit. Doesn't shoot, but he can score a little bit.
A little bit. And
he's a 6, 17, 18 point a night guy. I mean, it's not like he can't put the ball in the basket. Playoffs are a different issue, but in the regular season, 7, 8 rebounds a game, 7, 8 assists a game, and one of the premier defenders in the NBA. I'm assuming he's engaged.
His highest scoring average, by the way, is 17 1 year. But he's about 16 on his career.
But I wasn't that far off.
Sure. No, I'm just clarifying.
Sure. No, I appreciate it. So he's an excellent player. And, the idea, like a LeBron, AD, Tobias Harris, and Ben Simmons, you got to find some shooting. Tobias Harris will be part of that shooting. LeBron now is part of that shooting. You'd certainly have to find other guys around it. But from a ball handling, you got two gigantic ball handlers in Simmons and LeBron.
Harris can handle the ball too.
Harris, is a versatile player, not a bad defender. And he's not way old. He's only 29. I probably would. I'd need to really talk to people who know more about Simmons and have watched him every single day. But I mean, you do kind of get a star to go that's much more on AD's timeline. A really good supporting player in Tobias. The thing it really screws up is your free agent plan.
Yep.
For a couple of years, because you then are using that sort of available, everybody's off the cap space on Tobias Harris and
especially Ben Simmons.
So that you're visualizing this correctly with their cap situation, you're kind of wedding yourself to an AD. AD, Simmons, and for however long LeBron is around, core. Is that a better team than Russ, AD, and LeBron? Yeah, probably. I mean, it's not like Westbrook opens up the floor for them from a shooting standpoint.
No,
might as well get a better defender.
No, that is Simmons. True. Yeah,
I think I would do that. I don't know why. I don't think Philadelphia would. I mean, again, they got to really hate Tobias Harris's contract and think that, this is just, I don't think there is a scenario in which Russell Westbrook ends up on the Philadelphia 76ers, but from a Lakers standpoint, yeah, I think I would do that.
Yeah. It just raises interesting points though, because like you had said, and this was what I really found tricky about it. Like this would basically be your free agent moves in advance, instead of clearing the decks with everybody but AD. Like this is basically your team now and beyond. How do you feel about that? And I agree with you. There are certain things Ben Simmons does very well. He can be an elite defender. He is a very, very good passer, reluctant scorer. But those issues have in particular surfaced in the playoffs. And there's also, too, there's that question of the mental health issues that Ben Simmons is reportedly dealing with. Rich Paul has been on the record saying that this is a thing. And, there are cynics who say that this is Ben Simmons using what is essentially a bulletproof excuse to get out of Philadelphia. Like, this is something that can only be examined either by the team so much, or that you can scrutinize so much without people saying that you're being insensitive, that sort of thing. Like, that you are
right. you don't want to question somebody's mental health diagnosis.
Right. Right. So, and there are cynics who think that they're just using this as a meat shield, you know, essentially a meat shield excuse. But the flip side of it is, if this is real, you know, and I will give Ben Simmons the doubt that this is real, and it's been reported there have been family issues and things like that with him, you do have to consider whatever he is specifically dealing with. How much does that become magnified by the Lakers spotlight and the scrutiny and the clutch watch of it all? You know, like, these are things that you have to think about, because Ben Simmons at this point becomes a cornerstone player.
Right. And I always, worry about guys who just have long layoffs. I don't think it necessarily,
you're probably punting this season.
I think I was about to say, I think it doesn't really make you better this season. That's just way too much to integrate in one
Some
year.
Some would say this season's already been punted, though.
That's the point. Like, you know, probably not going to make him worse. You know, Simmons, you know, just, you know, Tobias swapping out, essentially in this scenario, you're rehabbing Simmons into the lineup, however long it takes for him to get there, and swapping out Tobias Harris for Russ. And that probably makes them better. I mean, it's probably easier to figure out how to do that than deal with Westbrook. But, you know, that would have been true of just about anybody, because almost anybody is easier to figure out than Westbrook, even when Westbrook is playing well. Which was one of the reasons that this trade was so potentially problematic from the beginning. But anyway, so it's an interesting way to kind of kick off trade season. It's starting to get going again. Cam Reddish to New York maybe impacts that market a little bit. You know, the Jeremy Grant thing a little bit here and there, or at least on the margins. It's going to start loosening up as THT becomes trade eligible. These things can become more talked about. But the Lakers do not have a lot of flexibility. It is very difficult to unwind. I think that's really what your trade scenario gets at too. It's very hard to unwind a Russell Westbrook deal. I think the Lakers would jump at that, but I don't think Philly would, which is part of the problem. They're in a tight spot, and we'll have a lot of things to break down in terms of transactions going forward. Reminder to make us your first listen of every day. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube, and we will see everybody next week.